This is Marinus of noble descent, but preferring the gospel to the sword, beheaded at Jerusalem for the testimony of Jesus Christ about the year 262. In the ancient records of the pious witnesses of Jesus Christ, an account is given of Marinus, a citizen of Jerusalem of noble descent, who, although he belonged to the nobility, entertained a sincere affection for the true Christians, who at that time were oppressed beyond measure. On this account, his enviers, who were jealous of the honor of his nobility, severely accused and charged him with being a Christian, which he also confessed. When he was brought before the judge, yea, he declared with a loud and clear voice that he was certainly a Christian. Declared with a loud and clear voice that he was certainly a Christian. Man, does that speak of us at work, at school, amongst our family, that we declare with a loud and clear voice that we're a Christian? I hope so. The judge then gave him 3 hours respite to consider. So he says, I'll give you 3 hours, reconsider what you're thinking about. You sure you want to go that route? So he gave him 3 hours respite to consider whether he would die as a Christian or whether he would sacrifice to the gods and the emperor. Think about that 3 hours. You're going to die, we're going to kill you, or you're going to sacrifice to these false gods. I guarantee he contemplated it. As he went away from the tribunal, Theotokines, the bishop of the church in that city, so the pastor of that church, took him by the hand and led him to the meeting in the meeting place, strengthened him with many words in the faith. Now get this. And placing before him the sword which he was wont to carry at his side and also the gospel, the book, he asked him which of the two he would choose. Now, before we move on, grab your Bibles, open up to Luke 22:36. We'll get back to the story, but I want to point something out here. Jesus speaking here, then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip, get this, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Jesus said that to the disciples. Now, Theotokines, the bishop of the church in that city, the pastor of that church, comes up to him, strengthens him with many words in the faith, and here's what he does. He places before him the sword, get this, which he was wont to carry at his side. The pastor carried a sword at his side.
Amen.
Why would he do that? Maybe because Jesus said, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat and buy one. The pastor had a sword at his side. And also the gospel, the book. And he asked him which of the two he would choose. Which one do you want? Now, that's a choice we all need to make. We should want, you know, to follow the book. But my point being in mentioning this is that this pastor carried a sword with him.
Amen.
You know what that's the equivalent of today? Yeah, let me show you. It's the equivalent of one of these. That's the equivalent.
Amen.
Today, that's the same thing. And he pulled his sword out and said, here, do you want this or this? Which one are you going to choose? Go fight. Or you can die a martyr's death. Well, my point being is he had a sword on him. And he put this choice before this young man. Now, continuing with the story. When Marinus, with a firm faith, stretched forth his hand for the gospel, choosing it instead of the sword, Theotokines said to him, O my son, keep that which thou hast chosen, and despising this present life, hope for the eternal. Depart in good confidence and receive the crown which the Lord has prepared for thee.
Amen.
Marinus accordingly returned to the tribunal and was forthwith called by the Lord's servant. For the appointed time had come, he did not delay or wait until he was asked, but said of his own accord that he had considered the matter and that it was established by the law of the fathers that God must be obeyed rather than men. Praise God. That's what we need, more men like that today, more women like that, that say God must be obeyed rather than men. That means even when we're not being told we can't do it, we ought to do it anyway.
Amen.
Amen. Eusebius Pamphilius writes that when Marinus had answered thus, the judge immediately gave sentence that he should be beheaded. P.J. Twisk gives the following account of this. When Marinus confessed that he was a Christian and chose the Bible in preference to the sword, he was called before the tribunal, sentenced, and beheaded. That was it. That's the story of this man who's beheaded. Now, three pious peasants, Priscus, Malchus, and Alexander, who sought heavenly crowns, torn by the wild beasts at Caesarea in Palestine about the year 263. In this persecution under Valerian, there were three very noted and God-fearing martyrs at Caesarea in Palestine, who nevertheless were but simple peasants, the first called Priscus, the second Malchus, the third Alexander. Eusebius writes that as they lived near the suburbs of Caesarea, a divine zeal for the faith was kindled within them, and they accused each other and each himself, says Melanus, of slothfulness. Since heavenly crowns of martyrdom were distributed or at least offered in the city, and they were so little inclined to ask for them. Do you get that? They lived outside of the main part of the city. They lived on the suburbs of it, outside of it. And they said, out here we've been safe, but in there they're dying for the faith. We're a bunch of slothful cowards is what they were saying, living out here when we could get a martyr's crown in there. This is what they're saying. And they're calling each other, you're a coward and I'm a coward. Why are we out here when they're dying for the faith just in the city right there? That's what they're saying. All right, let me find my spot here. Since heavenly crowns of martyrdom were distributed, or at least offered in the city, and they were so little inclined to ask for them, notwithstanding our Lord and Savior had said that the kingdom of heaven must be taken by violence, and therefore it did not become them to remain so earthly and slothful. Having exhorted one another with such words, they went into the city and addressed and reproved that cruel tyrant, the criminal judge, demanding of him why he shed so much Christian blood. All right, get your Bibles again. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. So here's what these men said. Having exhorted one another with such words, they went into the city and addressed and reproved that cruel tyrant, the criminal judge, demanding of him why he shed so much Christian blood. So they reproved him, okay? They went to this judge. How come you're killing so many people? What's wrong with you? Why are you doing this? Here's what Ephesians 5:11 says. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but what? Rather reprove them. That's some boldness right there. But rather reprove them. That'll get you called a meanie. It'll also get your head cut off. Or torn to bits by wild beasts. This is what they did, though. The tyrant instantly replied, saying, they shall be thrown before wild beasts to be torn by them who do not like to see the blood of the Christians shed, which it is stated was done to them. A. Melanus, writing in defense of the aforementioned three peasants against those who would pronounce them too bold, says after other remarks, who are you that judge your brethren? How do you know of what spirit they were? No one has courage of himself, but it is the gift of God, not only to believe in Christ, but also to suffer for his name. Hence, neither is of ourselves. They also did not seek their own honor, but to magnify the name of Christ by their death, to which no doubt they were impelled by divine zeal, since their zeal was not without knowledge, but proceeded from the power of faith, whereby they were prepared through the divine spirit to proclaim the honor of God through their death, for this was their sole object. Incredible what people will do for the Lord. The Lord led them to do that. And who are we to judge them? We might say, I wouldn't do that. Well, good, you don't have to. God didn't have everyone do that. He had Paul sneak out of a window at night in a basket. God doesn't have that for everyone, that they have to die for the faith like that. Paul, it did end up dying for the faith, and he suffered much for the faith. But not everyone has to do that. But who are we to judge them and say, how dumb of them to do that? Maybe it wasn't. Who knows? Maybe like a Stephen, there was another Paul got saved because of his martyrdom. Because of their martyrdom, maybe another Paul got saved. We don't know. There's no telling what God can do. That's why it's, you know, we believe in individual soul liberty, liberty of conscience. Each person gets to dictate how they follow God, how they don't follow God. And we leave that before them.